Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. We have a good show today. It's going to be probably about a 30-minute, 35-minute show. We're going to get right to it on transfers, the portal. I'm not going to hammer the portal. I think we're getting tired of hammering the portal. But what we're going to do is talk about the positives of LSU. We don't have time to do all 12 colleges today, but we're going to focus on LSU today on who they've gotten in the portal and who they might get. And the other topic is going to be LSU basketball, the big win over Florida. Very interesting game. I've been watching LSU basketball since 1979. And so I've seen a lot of stuff, but I've never seen LSU win a road game against, I think, still a quality team in a hostile environment. And I've never seen a team win with two guys foul out with a whole half to play and the point guard not playing in X Pinson. I've never seen that for LSU, especially on the road, especially against a Kentucky or a Florida on the road. It's really hard to win in those environments. And then we're going to talk about whatever Jace Lejeune joins us today, our editor, Louisiana Football Magazine, LAFootballMagazine.com. Go to our website, too, and we've got articles. We've got a bunch of new interns, college interns.
That's right.
We'll get their names out there later, Jace. Not today, but
sure.
As they pay their dues. And
yeah, right.
They're new. If they're with us in 6 months, a year, we're going to start promoting their names, helping these kids. And they're doing a good job so far. But we've got, you know, four new interns that are writing for the website. And we're looking for a fifth. So if you're a dad listening and you have a kid going to college and he's a current senior, or you're looking for college credits and you're a junior, going to be a senior, and you need to get a college credit for an internship, you can live anywhere in Louisiana and do this with us. You can even live in Georgia, Jace.
Yeah, the more the merrier. That's what the saying goes. Yeah,
we might even take two more interns. You chance to write, a chance to do a little scouting in the fall, chance to do call in recruits, and interviewing high school coaches, and much more with all the social media we're doing now. We might need help on our podcast as well.
Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and get into the show, Jace. Actually, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get right into the transfer portal and LSU, how they're doing, what they might end up with, and what Coach Kelly's doing and his staff. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Jace Lejeune, our editor with Louisiana Football Magazine, joins us today. You know, Jace, LSU, they've lost a lot.
I've lost track of all the players and that they lost in the portal.
When you're Kelly, you're looking at, and I've been around recruiting my whole life. You know, I've been putting the magazine out since 97. I started scouting back in 1991. And, you know, the thing about recruiting, it's evolved, it's changed. And then you get this portal thing going on. You had COVID. You've got so many guys now sitting out during a year. They're not hurt, or they're just not wanting to get hurt. They don't want to play in a bowl game. They don't want to play. Some of them don't even want to play in a conference championship game. And if they don't even play in the championship game and they get beat out, they're transferring out.
Yeah, well. Right. When they're like five or six Bama players that transferred after the national championship game was over.
Look, if you're in the national championship game and you're leaving after, you know, you can't. Nobody's protected from this. No one. They had a guy starting for Georgia, DB, 6'3", 210. He played a lot, and he's a junior.
Mm-hmm.
Got in a portal the next day. They just won it. Heck, didn't even get his ring yet.
That's right, yeah.
The ring takes, what, 90 to 100 days to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So, but with the portal, LSU started out about a month and a half ago, and they signed a big-time O-lineman in the portal, Miles Frazier.
Yeah, that was a big get considering the line this year is kind of, you're not really sure who's going to be what.
So here's my thoughts on the portal. And we're going to continue. I'm going to talk about Miles, talk about the other guys they got. There are only about 70 to 75, maybe 100 kids in the portal that I would not argue that they're in the portal, meaning they just want to change, meaning they're really good. And if you get them, it makes your team better. And so Kelly's going after those 75 to 100 players. It's like recruiting high school kids, but you're recruiting just 100 real good ones. But if you get after that 100, if you get back, if you get into the 200, 300, 400, 1,000 in the portal, 2,000, you're not getting anything better than what you already have.
It's almost as like a second chance of recruiting these guys again, because there are a lot of guys that, Coach Kelly's going to go after that the LSU was a big part of the recruiting process, yeah. And for whatever reason, they missed out on LSU. They didn't sign with LSU, so it's like a second chance for LSU to pick up a lot of these guys again.
But this is what I'm seeing in the portal. Coach Kelly, LSU, has to be very careful, because you can't just sign a bunch of guys with 1 year. Because what does that do? The next year, you're having to replenish the whole team again. So you want some of these grad transfers to have 2 or 3 years left, Jace. Like Miles Frazier has 4 years left, because he started as a true freshman and made freshman All-American at Florida International at 6'5", 320, got a pro career, but he was only a freshman.
Yeah, there's a reason why college football and college basketball are built different, you know.
So you get this guy for maybe, let's just say, 2 more years, okay? So you get 2 years and not 1 year. You don't want to sign a bunch of Miles Frazier's for 1 year. So Kelly's got to be real careful, but they did add a kid that's got 2 years left. I think he'll only go one because he's an NFL prospect. I watched UL play a lot this year. And Mikey Garner, who is a hybrid corner safety, 6'2", 215, is a big-time player, people. If look, 90% of the public, I might even say 95% of the public, don't really know who the no-name players are if you don't, if they don't play for LSU, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, right, right.
I'm the crazy guy that watches all these games and all these teams. But Mikey Garner, I don't care if he played in the Sun Belt, the WAC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac 12, the SEC, the whatever. He is a big time player, and he's. I want people to know, because I've seen comments on the internet. I've seen comments going, "Why is LSU taking guys from UL and Arkansas? Like that's under them."
Yeah,
and that's not under.
No.
Them, okay.
I mean, as of right now. But as of right now, they're better programs right now.
And these are pro prospects. So my point is, if you're listening to the show and you don't even know who Mikey Garner is, the whole goal is I want you to know who the kid is. He's 6'2". He's 215. He runs a 4.5 40, Jace. He was all conference 2 years in the Sun Belt. He was dominant. I watched him play. This guy's not some project coming into LSU going, I'm just putting a roster, just going to put a jersey on. Mikey Garner is going to start day one for LSU, either as a strong safety, as a corner. I mean, how many corners do you see 215, 6'2"?
Not many.
With long arms and an enforcer now. And he had big games. I saw him have a big game against the University of Texas. He had a big game the year before against Iowa State when they were ranked.
Yeah, right, right.
But Mikey Garner, and here's the other guy who's an all SEC player, four-year starter, team captain for Arkansas, Joe Fuqua.
Yep.
He's a super player. And look, I was angry that LSU didn't take him out of high school at a Madonna 35 high school in New Orleans.
Yep.
I saw this kid play for 4 years. Joe Fuqua is going to be all SEC for LSU next year.
Yeah, I believe it.
He's a ball hawk. And I'm not just saying this because they're going LSU. I'm usually the opposite. You know how critical I am, Jace, if they're not really what the press says they are. So you get Mikey Garner. You get Joe Fuqua, who can play corner or strong. He is a freak. He's just a gnat all over the field.
One of those great DBs that came from McDonald 35. They had a great run of them.
He's got a feel for the game, right? And he had 200 tackles at Arkansas.
Yeah, he was a great player. Great player.
So he's a plug-in. Problem is, he's a one-year guy. So if you fall in love with Joe, it's just 1 year. Now, he will go in the draft next year. It's probably a third, fourth-round pick and start for several years in the NFL.
Yep.
And I think they're going to get Greg Brooks, who I don't
– Which is another Arkansas guy, potentially.
From Louisiana.
Right, yep.
And so Greg Brooks –
West Jeff, right?
He played at West Jeff.
Yep.
And his dad played for Michigan.
That's right, yep.
And his dad plays for Archbishop Shaw back in the day for Coach Hank Turney.
Oh, back when they were rolling.
Yeah, and LSU didn't recruit his dad. And so the son wasn't recruited. He goes to Arkansas. Guess what? He's been starting for 3 years. He's had over 150 tackles in the SEC, along with Joe Fouquet. They're buddies. I expect Greg Brooks to announce to LSU any day. He's 6 foot, 190, runs a 4.5. He will play in the NFL. LSU just added three NFL DBs, two from Louisiana, three that are going to be phenomenal. They're going to be listed on preseason DB list.
Yeah, and that's a position of need because of, you know, guys like Ricks and McLaughlin and pretty much all of that, all alive guys in the secondary. You lose Derek Stingley. I mean, it's up in the air about what the secondary looks like, but that's what the transfer portal can do. That's the positives of it. You can immediately bring in some guys that can immediately make an impact and make, which was originally a unit that wasn't as strong, a strength of your team the very next season.
And guess what? They're all team captains, and they're all good students. Whoa. Oh, whoa, that's pretty good. They're good students, they're great talents, and they were team captains. Two in the SEC, one in the Sun Belt. Mikey Garner, if you talk to any coach in the Sun Belt at Appalachian State, ULM of Monroe, you know, Coastal Carolina, they'd go, this dude was a bad dude.
He was a problem, yep.
And LSU, Coach Napier couldn't even get him to Florida. All right, and this kid's from Texas. He's not a Louisiana guy, but you know what I think happened? He's in Louisiana. He's eating the food for 3 years.
He's enjoying it a little bit, enjoying the culture.
He's like, all I got to do is drive down the street.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm a UL fan, I'm very upset. This is where it gets crazy. So if I'm listening to Lieber Keen's show, the Sports Scouting Report, and I'm a raging Cajun, this portal is really depleting the UL roster.
Yeah, I mean, that was expected when the job was taken by Billy Napier. It's just what it is. There are some positives about the transfer portal, and unfortunately, there are some negatives. But at the same time, there can be guys, UL can get some D1 guys that haven't panned out to come over there.
Yeah,
it works both ways. It's a two-way street.
They're losing three of their best players.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be we're going to mention the other guy, Osiris Torrance, who
yeah.
You heard me. I was upset LSU didn't offer him out of St. Helena mm-hmm. Central out of high school.
Yeah.
And he is, I'll talk to him later. We'll talk. I'm going to mention one more kid before we take a break that's signed with LSU, long snapper, Slade Roy from East Carolina, 6'3", 215, was all conference and one of the best in the country. And guess what? He's only a freshman. So you got 3 years maybe out of him because long snappers don't go pro.
Right.
So, you know, Miles Frazier and him will be here in the program a long time at LSU. We're going to take a break. I'm going to talk about who they might get, and we'll talk about LSU basketball, and Jace might want to talk NFL later in the show, whatever, and we'll be right back. If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle, go see Medin's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Your Baton Rouge Accident Advisors. Welcome back. You're listening to Sports Scouting Report. Jace, here are some other guys that LSU might land in the portal. Wes Weeks, a linebacker from Georgia at Virginia, 6'3", 225, runs a 4.6, and he has ties with the LSU coaching staff.
Yep.
And so they just hired a Virginia coach from Louisiana, Arsenet.
Right, yep.
And so he knows this kid. There's a chance this guy would be a plug-in linebacker day one. Kyron Lacy, who we loved at Thibodaux High School.
Oh, yeah, the dude's a freak.
Well, for a lot of people who don't know listening, he was at UL, still at UL, but he's in the portal. He's UL's best receiver.
Mm-hmm, yep.
6'3", 210, runs a 4.45. I thought he was great in high school.
Yeah.
It's another one LSU didn't offer. Guess what? I knew he wanted to go to LSU in high school. Well, Kyron's also visiting Florida. That's where Billy went.
Yeah, I mean, Billy Napier, he did a great job of recruiting at UL, and he's trying to get the fruits of that labor to come with him to Florida to build something with him. Hey, we built something in Lafayette. Let's build something again in Gainesville.
Well, LSU needs one more receiver. If they get him, it's over. They don't need anybody else. With Boutte, him, and if maybe convince Deion Smith to come back.
Right, you got Besh, Ryan Thomas, Besh.
Hilton, Chris Hilton. Mm-hmm. I mean, they need one more guy. They just signed a slot receiver from Mandeville.
Landon Ibieta.
So, and then there's Latrell McCutcheon from Oklahoma. LSU just hired the defensive ends coach from Oklahoma.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And McCutcheon, they tried to sign him out of high school, out of Texas. He's out of Austin, believe it or not.
Right.
But they need one more DB. He's 6'1", 175. Guess what? He's only a freshman that made freshman all-conference. A future NFL guy, but he, you know, there's a tie with LSU's need defensive line coach. There's Osiris Torrance, who we were talking about earlier at UL, who's also probably going to visit Florida where Napier went. Osiris is only 6'7", 340.
Only 6'7", 340.
Runs about a 5, 140, which is like a 4'7 for a guy 220. And I thought in high school he was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. LSU didn't even blink at him. Prior staff, and guess what? He's made all-conference now 2 years. He's an NFL prospect, and he wants to play another year of college. He'd only have 1 year left, maybe two, but I don't think he'll go two more.
But it is good because even if you get these guys to play for 1 year, it is time for, like, the younger guys they get to really develop and have that extra year since you get those guys for
you
1 year.
But you don't want to take too many one-year guys.
Yeah, right,
and
right.
There's Mikey Wingo, who made freshman All-SEC as a nose guard at Missouri, from Missouri. But guess what? They just hired a coach who coached him in high school at LSU. Mm-hmm. The new safeties coach is from his old high school. He was his head coach. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
Mikey Wingo, who's only a freshman. That's another guy who can mm-hmm. play 3 years.
Yep.
There's Tyler Steen, who's from, guess where, Fort Lauderdale, St. Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah, pretty good football program over there.
Vanderbilt starter, All-SEC second team, 6'5", 310. And guess who he was former teammates with at LSU?
Let's see.
Marlon Martinez.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Another.
And Marcus Dumerville.
Mm-hmm. Another St. Thomas Aquinas guys, yep.
So Tyler Steen could end up coming to LSU. He's got 2 years left. And then we're going to take a break. I want to mention some high school guys that are left. Danny Lewis was offered recently from mm-hmm. Westgate, who LSU, I think, smart, the new staff, offered him.
Yeah, he decommitted after he got that offer.
You got Trevante Citizen still out there from Lake Charles Prep, running back.
Mm-hmm.
Jacoby Matthews
is a big name that's left.
Trevor Etienne didn't sign yet, even though he's committed to Florida.
Even though they say he's committed to Florida right now, yep.
Jamario Monette from Alexandria, DN, is still mm-hmm. available. I love Jermaine Minor, a tight end from Alexandria, 6'3", 220. We'll mention some other guys. We're just going to – look, I'm going to mention so much talent in the state that's left. I'm just picking New Orleans, and I'm going to blow your mind how much talent still left that is LSU quality. And I'm just going to talk about New Orleans, Jason, run through some of these New Orleans guys. We don't have time to do every city, but it's going to blow your mind who did not sign yet just from New Orleans that LSU could look at, especially O&D linemen and tight ends and fullbacks. We're going to take a break. We're going to have LSU basketball later in the show. We'll be right back. Be sure to take your car and truck for all your tire needs to Treads and Care Tire Company located in Central. The number to call is 331-8144. Family owned and operated since 1971. That's Treads and Care Tire Company. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Jace Lejeune is with us today, our editor for Louisiana Football Magazine. We're going to continue on. So I think if LSU can get Trevante Citizen at running back, they might just take him.
Yeah.
I would love for them to change Trevor Etienne's mind from mm-hmm. Jennings. I think he's phenomenal. I think he's better than his brother, the Etienne that went to Clemson. I do.
Gotcha.
I've watched him play.
Yeah, I have a question with the running back position, Lee. So we have Trevante Citizen, pretty much probably the number one on the LSU's board right now at that position. And then you have Etienne. You also have, what do you think of Noah Kane as a possibility?
No.
No. You know, he's in the portal too.
I think Noah needs to stay at Penn State. You know, he finished in Texas. He's from Baton Rouge. He doesn't have more of a burst, and he's like another Kiner.
Right.
Kiner doesn't have that super burst. Kiner reminds me of Terrence McGee. Like, he's a good back.
Yeah, okay.
Power. But you don't want two of the same guys that are – you need a big guy like a Citizen, and I mm-hmm. think they're going more that route. Kelly likes that, or he likes a small, fast guy.
Right.
But – I don't think LSU is going to go after Noah Kane, only because I watched him, and he's had some injuries.
Mm, that's right.
But he needs to get his burst back. And if you don't show a burst, college coaches don't want to recruit running backs if you don't have that burst they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's third team at Penn State.
Yeah. And I haven't heard anything about Logan Diggs, but I guess he's still with Notre Dame.
Well, Kelly signed him.
Yeah.
I think the semester ends differently at Notre Dame, so I think it's more like early spring to where they can transfer out. So I don't think you've seen the wave of Notre Dame guys yet. You know, our public people watching, they think all these guys are transferring at one time. There's like two phases.
Yeah.
There's going to be another phase, believe it or not, come April, going into spring. So Notre Dame, you're going to see probably 12, 13 guys declare in the next 3 weeks. And I know Kelly knows that. So he's probably holding a couple for Notre Dame.
Right.
They have 16 guys that are graduate transfers that have a year left. And four are legit, like big time.
Yeah.
And one's a tight end at 6'6", 270, runs a 4.8. And I'm hoping LSU gets this tight end because they have the best tight end in the country, Michael Mayer.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Mayer and then the Georgia tight end are the best two tight ends I've seen all year. Yep.
But this other kid at Notre Dame who's 6'6", 270, he might want to come to Baton Rouge and be a second-team guy that plays a lot instead of a third-team guy. Notre Dame just has so much tight end talent.
Yeah, they do. They do that. They've always done that under Coach Kelly. He's done a great job recruiting that position.
So let me run through some names, Jason. This is just New Orleans, the guys that LSU could take a shot on, high school guys, which I wish they would. Josh Martin from Bonneville. Yes, Bonneville.
Yep.
The last guy that came out of Bonneville that nobody wanted was Arthur Mallett. And guess what? Arthur Mallett's in the NFL.
That's right, yeah.
And nobody wanted Arthur Mallett.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd he go? Bonneville.
Yep.
Josh Martin is 6'4", 275, runs a 4.8, plays DN, and he is a man-child. I've seen him play. Frankie Bentley would be a great O-lineman at LSU, played D-line at De La Salle, 6'5", 320 of muscle, got great feet. U-High will attest to that. He's a great big man. Chris Baxter, fullback from De La Salle, 6'1", 240, great, great player. Ja'Cory Robertson, Jace, from East St. John, DN, big-time player, 6'2", 260.
They've always had great defensive ends over there.
And then they got a D-tackle named Darrell Daig, who's 6'1", 330. He is a man-child. I've seen him play. And then they got another D-tackle at Edna Carr, Kels Bush, 6'3", 280, runs a 5-flat.
Right, everybody talks about the one they've signed, but Taji Hill, but he's pretty good. He's not too shabby as well.
Then you got Jaden Newton, a linebacker, Edna Carr, who's 6'2", 220, runs 4'5". He's still available. There is a great high school receiver left named Troy Kendrick from Hahnville.
Yep.
6'2", 180. I think he's going to be the next. Now, let me just say this. The last guy I saw built like this, the last guy I saw look like this was a guy that's by the name of Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. Pretty decent player, huh?
Yeah, he was okay.
Troy
Kendrick reminds me of a raw version because if you're listening to the show, you're going to go, Lee, are you crazy? No. When Justin Jefferson was at Destrehan, he was 6'2", 170. He wasn't 6'2", 200.
No, he wasn't.
Troy Kendrick is a steal. Then you got Chris Hawkins, a DN from Helen Cox, 6'4", 250. Connor Orgeron from John Curtis, a linebacker. I think he's a great, great player. 6'2", 220. Chad Woodson, Jace, a tight end from Kenner Discovery.
6'3", he was on the cover this year. Yep.
235. Great, great tight end. Leroy Page from Martin Luther King, 6'4", 215, could play anywhere. Runs a 4.440. I saw him this year. Really good player.
And he really likes LSU. That's one of his final schools that he's really looking at.
I would take Leroy Page and Troy Hendrick in a New York second, as they said. My dad told me growing up. Justin Dole, I think he's another Jerome Bettis from Martin Luther King High School. He used to be at St. Aug.
Right.
5'11".
He is a tank.
He is a tank with feet. 5'11", 240, runs a 4.6.
Like a Craig Ironhead Hayward type.
Look, just listen, hear me out, the listening audience. Just remember the name Justin Dole. I don't care if he goes to Savannah State University, wherever he ends up, you're going to hear Justin Dole in the NFL, and people are going to go, why did LSU and those guys not take him?
He's going to be, you'll hear like one of these four, fifth round picks that just goes under the wire, and he just has a great NFL career.
Goes to North Dakota State, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he has no fat on him, and no, he's not a fullback.
Yeah.
And ask any coach that played him. Ask Tara this year. Tara looked at him like, how do you stop a human tank with feet?
Yeah.
I saw the film. He's incredible. And then you got Carl Singleton, another great receiver from St. Aug, runs a 4.4. Javon Nicholas, another receiver from St. Aug, runs a 4.4.
I mean, to show you how talented they are, they really outplayed Catholic High when they played. Yeah. And, I mean, Catholic High really speaks for itself.
Ask Zachary High School how good Javon Nicholas is and Carl Singleton. And then there's a fullback at St. Aug, Joshua Alexander. And then there's Caden Jones from St. Charles Catholic.
He's a good player. Man, great player.
You're talking about a linebacker, Mike, who's perfect, 4'5", at 230, 6 foot, and all man. Big time.
They're two different types of players, but St. Charles Catholic had a pretty good run of linebackers over the last couple of years. Emmanuel Eugene and now Caden Jones.
And Eugene will be starting for Tulane next year. Yeah. He was a true freshman last year. We're going to take a break, and we come back. We're going to try and hit that 35-minute mark right now. We're almost at 25.
Yep.
We're going to come right back, talk LSU basketball, and whatever Jace, I don't know what Jace has up his sleeve, but whatever Jace wants to talk about, we'll be right back. Gros Savon Lodge, the true sportsman's paradise. Gros Savon Lodge has fresh and saltwater fishing, alligator hunting, waterfowl hunting, and echo tours located south of Lake Charles, Louisiana. Give them a call at 337-598-2357. That number to call again is 337-598-2357. 2357, and have the time of your life. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. LSU basketball is the topic this segment. And let me just say this. I grew up an LSU basketball fan, Jace, in the late 70s, early 80s. I was a young
just
child.
When Dale Brown was getting started.
I grew up a Rudy Macklin fan, an Ethan Martin fan, a Leonard Mitchell fan, Jose Vargas, Shaquille O'Neal, Chris Jackson, you know, Don Redden, the late Don Redden, Ricky Blanton, you know, just Vernell Singleton, you know, Stanley Roberts, you know, just go on and on and on, and Dwayne Scales, and just the great players that Dale had, and then Tom, you know, Coach Brady, Baby Davis, Tyrus Thomas. You know, a lot of the guys, Jabari Smith's dad, you know, who played on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, Collis Temple's sons, you know. I mean, you know, it's just been great players, you know. And I followed the tradition back to the old Bob Pettit days and Pistol Pete Maravich before my time. And then you've seen this coach, Will Wade, come in and produce a lot of NBA guys. And I've never really seen him have a team like he has this year. He's got a team that relies all on hustle and effort.
And which is different.
And I love that. Yeah. I'm that kind of guy. Like, I was that 5'8" guy that played basketball. and when you're short, you have to give high effort to exist in a basketball game.
Oh, yeah.
Especially neighborhood games growing up. But people remember me. They will remember one thing. They'll remember that Lee was a scrappy, and I could shoot. But to get to play, if I want to be on 5-on-5 growing up, I had to have some effort. And so I went one speed, and that was full speed. And so I love this kind of team. And the only thing is, when you have this kind of team, they can be frustrating to watch during a game because they're not a shooting team. They're just a scrappy team that finds ways to score untraditionally. And then they've got great guys that are – they bring it. And when I watched – Tari Eason on the sideline foul out before the second half even gets going, and he's on the sideline like on these guys like high five and like head bumping them saying get it man. I didn't see this prior at LSU under Will.
You got
guys on the bench that are encouraging guys on the court.
It is a team, and like,
and it's so easy to get upset if you're a fan. You're like, you know, get a 13-point lead, it's down to a tie, or, you know, they get out-muscled by maybe a 7-footer. By the way, Florida center, Castleton.
Oh, he was good.
LSU makes him look like a lottery pick every
year. Yeah, he was good.
And he might be a starter in the NBA, but LSU makes him look like the Naismith winner every year. But anyway, Florida's not easy to beat in Gainesville. And if you watch this game, you can get upset at everybody. But at the end of the game, LSU pulls it out. They got half the team fouls out before.
Right, because you mentioned Eason, and then right after that, Efton Reed fouls out. I mean, not long after that. And those are two of their best players that fouled out.
And what I like about, by the way, is there a game that Tari Eason doesn't have one dunk?
No. I mean, he's been pretty red hot over the last couple of weeks.
Jace, is that a stat anybody keeps up with? I think that's something we need to. All right, who leads the country in dunks? He might. And who has had a dunk in every game? I'm sure he's in the top three.
Yeah, every game he's played. That Tennessee game where he had that one-hand tomahawk over the guy, poster dunk.
And how many guys over 6'8 has stole the ball half court and dunked it as many as times as he has? I don't think anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He's got like 10 of them.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking this game, if they don't have Tari Eason to close the game out, they're going to lose. They did it.
And a big shout-out, too, to Eric Gaines for really stepping up down the stretch, especially with Xavier Pinson being out. He really stepped up and was the guy. I thought that was, like, his breakout game.
He's becoming a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
And people were upset. Well, you know what? Stop being upset at a guy growing into a position. It takes some time. You know, I mean, people want you to be polished as an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid. That's not the way it
everybody
works.
Develops at different stages. Yeah. You know, some later than others. It's just how it is.
But you know what Gaines is, Jace? He can drive to the goal now.
Yeah.
And he's scary doing that because he blows by everybody.
Yeah, that reverse layup he had was pretty cool. Yeah, see him new.
He doesn't have to shoot 8 threes a game. He doesn't have – that's not his game. Mm-hmm. If he can just go to the basket and get fouled or make those layups – and do that 3 or 4 times a game, and maybe a couple of jump shots, he's good.
If he plays in control, he's good.
Well, I remember when Skylar Mays was in his freshman year at LSU, in sophomore year, he had trouble with control driving the basket.
Mm-hmm.
And people forget that. They only remember the junior-senior Skylar Mays.
Yep.
It takes repetition, and it also takes that confidence. He's now got it.
Speaking of four-year guys, I mean, I bet it felt good for Darius Days to go to Gainesville, where he's from, and then have a great game. Yeah.
Well, I wanted LSU to finally beat Florida in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and I thought it would have been really disappointing if they'd have lost because this was just a team that fights you. But you know what? Florida wasn't ready for this effort from this team.
No.
You could tell every time Florida would go on a 5-point run, LSU would go on a 10-point run. Every time it would get to 3, LSU would get it to 5. It'd get it to 2, they get it to 4.
Yeah, despite all that with the crowd, and I think LSU never lost a lead during the game.
No.
Yeah, it was tied a couple of times, look, but I think they never lost a lead.
Props to Sharif O'Neal.
That was his first game, yep.
And he had quality 4 rebounds, had a great block shot, had 2 really good jump shots. He hadn't played in a year. And he's 6'10", and he brings now, if Efton Reed fouls out, now you got 2 6'10", 11 guys.
Yeah, that him coming back was much needed.
And now you're different.
Yep.
And as time goes on, Sharif, even if he just gets a bunch of rebounds and a couple of blocks, and here's what I noticed, Jace, for the LSU basketball team, and I hope Will Wade knows this. I mean, there's a lot of LSU basketball fans in the state, and maybe some of the people listening have seen this too. But I think LSU is going to be so prepared for the NCAA tournament because all these bigs they go against every game, you realize all the 7-footers, all the talent 7-footers they play every week, and they're still not the hugest team in the,
mm-hmm.
Look at Jabari Smith at Auburn and Kessler.
Yeah.
And they got a 3rd 7-footer. They got 3 7-footers that are going to go in the first round. Auburn does.
Yeah.
Kentucky's got 2 big guys that are impressive.
Yep.
Tennessee had a couple of big bigs. Florida, this kid, Castleton. But my point is, when you get outside the SEC and you get into the NCAA tournament, I think LSU's going to just annihilate some teams if you don't have a big. If you don't have that big guy, and when they do play like a North Carolina in the NCAA tournament possibly, or Duke, they're used to it.
Right, right. I mean, really looking outside the SEC, I mean, it's really hard to find those big guys that dominate the paint. Well, maybe like Illinois has one.
Michigan.
Yeah, like the Big Ten teams have them.
Yeah. But now LSU's prepared for Michigan State this time because that gave them trouble in the past, not having enough size and also effort. But now they have the effort, and they're getting used to it. And Tari Eason, if he wouldn't have fouled out, he probably would have ended up with 20 again.
It's a different LSU team from years past because LSU was so reliant on their offense and their scores, and now it's pretty much the opposite. They're relying on their defense and their effort and their hustle. And I mean, each way, it shows that Will Wade can coach teams in different ways and they can win in different ways.
Well, they're tough to watch, but you just got to understand it's an effort team. They're not a shooting team. and they're a high effort team that they're a joy to watch to me. And I love the effort. And look, coaches always preach this. Your dad does. Everybody does. Effort beats everything. It trumps everything. If you can get your guys to play as a team and play 110%, whoa, you're going to win most of your games.
If you make a mistake, make it at 100% full speed.
Yeah, and that's when you're a proud papa coach. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about whatever is left to talk about. The NFL.
I'll come away. NFL, busy week.
We're going to go to 37 minutes. We got the NFL and whatever Jace is thinking of. We'll talk about it. We'll be right back. Gage has served Louisiana for over 40 years. Let Gage create a custom tailored solution for your business and become your partner in technology. Give them a call today at 225-753-4243 and help your business get better connected with Gage. So before we get into the NFL talk, I do want to mention Danny Lewis from Westgate, who I saw play as a junior against Denham Springs, 6'5", 250, was a receiver lined out. Orgeron and the prior staff did not offer him. Another one that I was shocked.
I'm surprised.
It goes to show you, and you've heard this from me, Jace, for 5 years. This goes back to Les Miles. They were under-evaluating these Louisiana guys, and they have been for a long time. And Danny, Osiris Torrance, the Greg Brooks of the world, Joe Fouquet's, Danny Lewis's, there's many of them, that if you would have took these guys, I don't think the attrition would be like it is now as bad if they would have signed more Louisiana guys. I was preaching that on my shows for 2 years, almost 3 years, and you've been around me for a long time.
Yeah.
How many times did I say that they're just undersigning right. Louisiana guys.
And being around the Southland Conference and calling a lot of their games, I know it's like at the skill positions, like with Southeastern, like a lot of their receivers and nickels and their receivers and skill guys. I mean, it's not like talking to Cole Kelly, it's not a big difference from when he was with Arkansas. I mean,
it's the linemen.
It's the linemen. That's the biggest difference. But skill-wise, I mean, it's not really big difference.
And you got a ton of skill guys in NFL, 1AA, D2, D3, tons. How many slot receivers New England's put on the field? Edelman,
yeah,
guys
right.
like that. And, you know, Baltimore Ravens, they don't care where you go to college. I mean, Pittsburgh.
If you can play, they'll find you. Yeah. That's what it is.
My Steelers, they don't care where you went to school.
Speaking of those Steelers, how confident are you?
Not very confident.
against the Chiefs. I think Big Ben's career comes to an end this weekend against the Chiefs.
Let me tell you, like a true Steeler Nation fan, still Curtin, old guy here, I'm going to watch that game thinking they're going to win. But they're probably not. But yeah. Let me tell you something, though. Ben Roethlisberger didn't have his mojo for a long time this year. Now, think of it. Last year, they were like 10-0 to start the season.
And they fell down. They faltered right. down the stretch, yeah.
But he had lost his mojo this year. He got it back. I mean, he's in confidence is a true companion of success.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Roethlisberger, Najee Harris is coming on.
Yeah, he has right. the last couple of weeks.
That
he's
tight
really
end,
on.
Pat Furfman, he's, from Penn yeah, State, for,
yeah,
is Furfmeyer, coming on.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Trey Turner's looking good from LSU, by the way, on the O-line. And so is the Tulane O-lineman, Tyler Lagoo.
Yeah.
Two Louisiana guys. And then the defense is
stepping Kevin
up.
Dotson's with the Steelers, too. Yeah.
Don't count out Wyatt now. Wyatt's got 22
and a half
sacks.
Yeah, 22 and a half sacks. He tied Strahan's record. And, yeah, if he takes over the game and puts pressure on Mahomes, you never know what would happen.
They got Fitzpatrick at DB. They still got players.
Yeah. Hayward. I mean,
Cameron Hayward.
Cameron Hayward. So they got players.
They've had a lot of injuries. What I'm interested in, Jace, do they get a couple of key veterans back for the playoffs that's been out for a while? They need mm-hmm. – they've had, like – Devin Bush has been hurt, the linebacker from
right,
Michigan.
Yeah.
They got a running back from Kentucky the other day. That was
Benny Snell, yep.
And he looked good.
Mm-hmm. So
but we'll see. You know, my heart says, and I'll tell you, it will be a game. I will go on a line. It'll be a game. But Mahomes.
They'll play for a big Ben, knowing that's his final run. And, they'll play hard for him.
There's something about the Chiefs, though, this year, Jace. I'm not sold on them this year. Something's missing.
Yeah, I mean, in games this year, sometimes the defense is there and the offense is sluggish and the offense plays well and the defense not. It just hasn't really come all together for them.
And Clyde Edwards is hurt, okay? Clyde Edwards-Helaier is hurt, and then Darrell Williams has had a monster year from LSU. He's probably their team MVP outside of Mahomes and Kelsey.
Yeah.
But the defense for Kansas City, I'm not sold yet.
Yeah.
I'm not. They have Snead and Matthew, you know, from Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the big D tackle from Mississippi State who's had a great career, Jones.
And Gore, Derek Gore played ULM. He's a third running back. So they got
from
three
Alabama.
Reasons. Yeah, from Alabama that transferred.
But I'm not sold on the Chiefs, man, because Cincinnati beat them, and they look lethargic against Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a young team.
Yeah.
So
speaking of them, you have now the Bengals haven't won a playoff game since 1990. And, like, and actually, this with the Saints being out of the playoffs, this is the team I'm cheering for because of Joe Burrow and Jamar and all that. But do you think they can get it done against Las Vegas?
Well, ditto on that. But what scares me is Oakland – not Oakland. Las Vegas Raiders got their mojo back. And I'm just so – I think the stars are aligned for the Raiders because they've been out of it for so long. And Harris is having a great year running back. Actually, Foster Morrow's doing really well there.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think Las Vegas Raiders, though, I don't think there's talent in Cincinnati. I don't think
–
I think Jamar Chase could have a record day.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't see the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up like 700 yards the other day.
Yeah. Now, they find a way to win close games.
It's in Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, it's in Cincinnati.
It's going to be cold.
Mm-hmm.
West Coast team, they don't like the cold. They don't play cold games. And I think it's going to really affect them. Now, if this game was in Las Vegas, Jace, I'd go Las Vegas Raiders. Mm-hmm. But I'm going Cincinnati. I'm going Joe Burrow winning a playoff game. And it's going to be Joe Burrow to the Super Bowl, man.
Okay. I'm going to go through these.
I don't know about that, but I'm
Patriots and Bills, who you think comes out of that one? Both these two teams played each other twice, and both teams beat each other both games.
So. I'm not a Patriots fan since Brady left.
Yeah.
I was a Patriots fan because of Brady and Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Belichick fan, kind of.
Yeah. I respect for what – yeah, right.
But I'm not – I think New England's going to win. Because the Bills, they lost Tre'Davious White for the year. He was a tough loss at corner. He was their main lockdown. I don't know. New England shouldn't be where they are right now, but it's because of Belichick.
Right. He's still – yeah, he should be up for coach
and
of the year.
He's going to find a way to win.
Yeah.
And the Bills are going to be depressed. And they're not even going to eat buffalo wings anymore. Over the but the thing is, I want the Bills to succeed because the Chiefs have knocked them out every year.
Yeah, I'm actually going to pick the Bills here. I mean, I feel confident in Josh Allen and the defense plays well. And I'm not sure how much I trust Mac Jones yet, you know, to be that guy in the playoffs. So.
Well, Tre'Davious White was a huge loss.
Yeah, that was.
And Belichick, you know what he's going to do. He's going to say, okay.
He does a great job attacking whatever weakness that you have.
You're weak here, and here.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And guess what? We're going to exploit it, and we're going to pound you.
Yep.
And his defense is, his defenses play like LSU's basketball team.
Yeah.
Say what you want about Belichick. Say what you want. Call him whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Behind the scenes. His players love him on defense.
Yeah, they play for him, and he's one of the greatest defensive geniuses of all time.
And I got to give a shout-out to Plaquemine native.
Yeah, Devon.
Devon Gottschalk's had a great year.
He has. He's done a great job this year. He had a great game against the Bills when they played.
He's quietly averaging 5 tackles a game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Jalen Mills from LSU's having a good year.
He has, too. Belichick's always liked his LSU guys. Kevin Falk, Jarvis Green, he's always liked those LSU guys.
And Brandon Bolden has been there
forever.
Since the Ice Age. So Brandon Bolden went to Scotlandville, played at Ole Miss. LSU did not recruit him.
Right, yeah.
Another one.
Dad coached against them a couple of times when he was at Scotlandville. So,
and you know what? It's something about Belichick and these older running backs like Blunt, him, and Falk.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you are good at what you do, he will keep a running back around.
Oh, yes, he will. And speaking of Tom Brady and with the Bucs now, they got the Eagles in the playoffs. Bucs trying to repeat as Super Bowl champs, and Tom Brady will get his, 8th Super Bowl?
I bet you Tom Brady's sitting down right now going, if I lose this game, I got to retire.
Yeah.
We can't be embarrassed and get beat by the Eagles.
No.
I mean, the Eagles is like the team that it's like that high school playoff team that gets in at 0-10.
Yeah, it's like the team that sneaks in and,
Yeah.
They're average. They're decent.
But Jalen Hurts might have the game of his life.
Yeah, you never know.
Or the other quarterback, they Minshew, right?
Yeah, right.
They play either one.
Mm-hmm.
And Smith from Alabama's had a good year.
Yeah, Devontae Smith, that could be the game he breaks out.
Right. But I just think Tampa Bay, this would be the most embarrassing loss. This would be detrimental to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the injuries has been key with Tampa Bay.
I wonder if Fournette's going to play. He's been out for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think he might play. I think they're leaning towards him playing.
And shout out to former track LSU star and receiver.
Steele Grayson.
Who took the place of Brown and has had a great month.
Did not play football at LSU.
None, not a down.
No.
And went to Archbishop Rummel,
mm-hmm.
but he played high school football.
Yeah, he did. He did.
For Coach Jay Roth.
Yep, he did.
We went over, but, hey, we're going to go ahead and anything else before we
yeah,
go?
Yeah, two quick picks, 49ers, Cowboys, like the old 90s matchup. So.
Well, I'm not a Cowboys fan.
Yep.
All the people in Shreveport are probably not going to like me all of a sudden, but I'm going San Fran in an upset over, and I hate to go against,
I agree.
I hate to go against Dak.
Uh-huh.
But I think 49ers have
the way they're playing. The way they're playing, I'm going with the 49ers.
They're feeling it.
Yeah.
And I'm not in fear of the Cowboys running game against Bosa and that D-line.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. by the way, Arden Key's had a great year for San Francisco.
Oh, he has. He's done a great job.
7 sacks.
Yeah.
He
sacked Stafford a couple times last week.
San Fran has got – they got some players, man.
Mm-hmm.
And the running backs from UL, Mitchell.
Right, Elijah Mitchell. Debo Samuel was one of the most underrated players in the NFL.
If Debo played with Mahomes, they'd talk about him.
Uh-huh. George Kittle is a freak.
He's a freak. They got some great D linemen, linebackers, DBs. I think San Fran is going to go into Dallas and freaking disrupt
them. I agree with you. I had them as an upset.
I'm sorry for picking against Dak. I know Shreveport's not going to like me for that or Houghton, but
yeah.
I'm not a Cowboys fan. I'm only a Cowboys fan because of Dak. Only.
Mm. Yeah, I love Dak, and I hope he does well in the playoffs.
Lyle Collins.
Yeah, but I don't like this matchup for Dallas. I don't.
No, I think Dallas is going to – they look a little lethargic,
mm-hmm.
even against Philadelphia last week.
Yeah.
Even before the backups came in.
Right.
You know, Dak and Dallas hadn't won a playoff game in like a decade. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's been a while
it's
for
been
them.
A couple of days.
Yep, and then the last game, Cardinals and Rams, NFC West matchup. Who you have in that one?
I want Arizona to win. But I'm leaning to the Rams because of Whitworth and Odell.
Mm-hmm.
I got to stick with my Louisiana guys.
Yep.
Now, Arizona has Rashard Lawrence.
Right, yep.
But I just think Kyler Murray is going to have that game that they've all been waiting for. He hasn't won a playoff game, I don't think, yet. Or did he win one?
Either quarterback. Matthew Stafford hasn't won the play. No, so, there's a lot of pressure on the Rams to win this game.
I just don't know if, you know, the Rams have a great D-line.
Mm-hmm.
They got the best D tackle in the league.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Kyler Murray's going to have a freak game. And I don't know. The Rams' offense did not look good the last month.
No, it really hasn't. And Matthew Stafford's been a little shaky. He's done a lot of picks. And he's, you know, I really like Arizona. I feel more comfortable with Arizona going to this game than I do Los Angeles after the way they've been playing.
And I think Green Bay has a bye, right?
Green Bay has a bye in the NFC. And Tennessee has a bye in the AFC. Mike Vrabel has to be coach of the year for what he's done.
And I'm going to tell you, the nation's in trouble in NFL because Tennessee gets back who in a week?
Derrick Henry.
The freak.
And that's why I'm saying he's coach of the year. He's done that without Derrick Henry, with him being out. Julio Jones was out a lot of times, and they still find ways to win.
They get the human 18-wheeler. I think, you know, everybody's watched that Marcus Dupree story on 30 and 30.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry is like three times the size of Marcus Dupree.
Yeah.
Marcus is 6'3", 230 back in the day.
Right.
Derrick is 6'3", 260, runs a 4.4.
Yeah.
I would not want to be a DB 200 pounds trying to tackle him.
And that was huge for Tennessee, getting that extra week off with him. There's another week, another chance for Derrick Henry to really fully recover.
And I am a huge Tannehill fan because if there's any quarterback besides the Buffalo quarterback that I want to see get to the Super Bowl, it's Steve Tannehill because he's in his early 30s. And he used to be a receiver at A&M and switched to quarterback.
Yeah, switched to quarterback.
But Steve Tannehill is a tough.
I mean, Ryan Tannehill,
dude,
right?
Ryan.
Yep.
I don't know why I call him Steve. Ryan is a tough quarterback, and they've got some talent, man. And look, they got the corner from LSU, Christian Fulton.
Yeah.
Who's from Rommel. We said Rommel a lot today.
Mm-hmm.
And right. They got Torrey Carter's on that team and Racy McMath.
That's right. Yeah.
They're all on the team, not practice squad. They're on the mm-hmm. team.
Yeah.
So I just, and Tennessee's got great fans.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to, there's a lot of good teams. I do know this. I want Cincinnati to go to Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, that's the team I'm pulling for with the
over
Saints being
Steelers.
Out.
You heard
yeah.
that? Over my Steelers.
Over your Steelers, huh?
I want Burrow to go to the Super Bowl.
That's the team I'm pulling. With the Saints being out, that's the second best team for me I'm pulling for.
And so. the other team, I want the Rams to go.
Yeah, for Whitworth, really. I mean, he's been in the NFL for a long time, playing in his 40s.
I want Beckham to be in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For him to have his chance of right. of greatness, of, you know, all the stuff he's
really
been through.
Pulling, I mean, Matthew Stafford, I felt he's been through a whole lot. Right. And I'll be good for him. I'll be his swan song, you know.
But I would love to see the Rams go. The Saints fans are not going to be liking me saying that. Hey,
Saints not liking the Rams right now.
Hey, I didn't do the flag. I have nothing to do
uh-huh.
with it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not kidding any refs or but any umpires.
One thing before we go, Lee. I mean, even though the Saints did not make the playoffs, I mean, huge kudos to Sean Payton, Dennis Allen, and what they've dealt with this year.
Incredible.
And to win 9 games and just miss out on the playoffs, that's saying a lot about that organization.
Well, I do know the Saints never want the first, second, third, fourth pick in the draft. They're sitting where they want to be in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
They like that 12th
18.
Pick
yeah.
on, and they don't like to trade up. And they would probably trade their pick away if they had the first pick. If they didn't get the quarterback they wanted.
Yeah.
But I want them to get the kid from North Carolina at quarterback. That kid's the next Roethlisberger. I know the Steelers want him.
Yeah.
Because they want to clone Ben.
Yeah, they need somebody next year. I mean, right now you're not really sure what the Steelers are going to go after Big Ben, because the future is kind of up in the air at quarterback for him since Big Ben's done that for
what,
this year.
This kid at North Carolina is like a clone. He's 6'5", 230, cannon, can run, tough, can hang in the pocket and throw 60 yards off of one leg. I'm trying to think of his name, North Carolina. He's a junior.
Sam Howell.
Thank you. But he is the next great one. I don't know if Sam will be around for the Saints. They might trade up for him, maybe.
Yeah.
But
I hope they get a receiver, because I know that's really what they need to.
Here's the good thing is, a lot of teams don't need quarterbacks that might have the first 5 picks.
Mm-hmm.
They need other areas. So the Saints might have this guy fall a little further down, but I do know the Steelers want to draft Sam.
Yeah,
Howell, and I think Sam Howell.
And hopefully, the Saints try to make a run at Russell Wilson. I mean, that's what I want at quarterback, and he's got a lot of areas to his game. That's kind of like Drew Brees, and it's kind of like having Drew Brees back in New Orleans.
You don't want to blow 2 years on a rookie. It's going to be great with this defense the Saints have.
You need to win now. Yeah. This is a Super Bowl defense the Saints have. They need to find a way.
You've got the linebacking core second to none. Your DBs are as good as they've been.
Yeah.
Your D-line's as good as it's
great.
Been. The O-line's still young and good.
Mm-hmm. When they're healthy, right.
If you get Thomas back, if you can get –
you have Kamara in the back,
Kamara
backfield.
Kamara wasn't healthy this year.
Yeah.
If you get him back healthy.
Yeah.
And then gain a receiver.
They need a receiver desperately.
Callaway has inserted himself as a guy next year, though.
He's a good two. He's not a one, but he's a good two.
But if you can go Thomas, Callaway, and draft a young stud receiver, and
I think you're set.
You're in business.
Yeah, if they can get one of the Ohio State receivers, find a way to get one of those guys. I mean, and you know how Sean Payton loves his Ohio State players.
If I was the Saints, and in the third round get Ty Davis Price from LSU.
Yeah. That'll be a good compliment for Alvin Kamara. They need a power back.
You can get Ty in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe fourth. They could steal it. Go get him. Louisiana guy. 6'2", 225. We're going to go ahead and end the show. Go to LAFootballMagazine.com. Go to our website. We've got stories every day. We've got our video TV version show now.
Yeah, we just posted that up yesterday, and it was a great show. We had Cole Poirier from Samuel, one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the state for a senior.
Yeah.
And then Jeff Palermo came in and did a really good job of really capping off the high school season and talk about the Southland Conference. And just he gave us a whole lot of thoughts after calling all these games this year. And then we gave – speaking of the Cincinnati Bengals and – could be the rookie of the year in Ja'Marr Chase. We gave a flashback segment when you interviewed him on the show.
Yeah.
And
somebody will remember
back in the archives. So, yep, we'll go back and see. Hey, he started right here in Louisiana, and here's an interview when he was a senior, before LSU, before all the success. This is him, his senior year at Archbishop Rumble. It was a great show.
Yeah, and I remember in the interview saying, you are a great blocker. And I remember he's done that now in the NFL and mm-hmm. the college and how tough he is.
He did say that he was the toughest receiver to go to LSU since Jarvis Landry, and he is as tough as it comes.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's good to show those flashbacks because people forget. Mm-hmm. They forget who the player was before college, before the pros.
Before the fame, you know.
Yeah, and that's why I like this business. It's all great at the high school level.
Jason. And I'm happy for him, too, because he was a great – when he came on, he was a great kid.
Yeah, I gave him a tough time for going pro early, only because I like to see guys play 3 years. But you know what?
It all worked out.
When I look back on it, I think if there wouldn't have been COVID, Jamar plays.
Yeah, he's a competitor. He wants to play.
He didn't sit because of the NFL mentality.
No.
It was the COVID deal.
It was the uncertainty of that year. Right.
And I never questioned how good of a person he is in his family.
Oh, yeah. He has a great dad. And Jimmy, if you're listening, great family. And I'm happy for the success that he's had.
I want the Bengals. Now, I'm picking the Bengals to go over my childhood Steelers only because I want them to do so well. And I think if the Bengals were to play a Rams or the Packers, the Bengals might be a destiny run for a long time.
Now, that'll be a great storyline if it's the Bengals and Packers in the Super Bowl. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you know, one of the greats of all time. There's Joe Burrow.
Well, they got to beat Las Vegas first. But I tell you what, if they beat Las Vegas, this team is going to be like the Bears back when they had the Fridge and all those guys because they just the momentum. Mm-hmm. They're getting behind Burrow. I mean, it's incredible.
If he stays healthy, this dude, he's going to be a top five of all time. As long as he stays healthy over his career.
I mean, he's a legend already in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the last guy to do great things in Cincinnati was a quarterback named Kenny Anderson. Ken Anderson, when I was growing up. And Charlie Alexander from LSU was on that team. As a running back.
That's going back. That's going Montana days in the early 80s.
And the Bengals had Chris Collinsworth.
That's right, a receiver. Yep.
And they had a guy. They had a great coach there that played for Lombardi with the Packers.
Yeah, Forrest Gregg.
Mm-hmm. And they had some Hall of Famers all in Cincinnati just could not beat the 49ers.
Yeah, they went with Ken Anderson, and Boomer Esiason was the other guy that couldn't get it done.
Yeah, and in other years, the Steelers would always knock Cincinnati out. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just – but it's good to see that. We're going to go ahead and end the show. We will see you next week. Well, we went over.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.